This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 265 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. I like how the little message when I start recording on Skype at the top of the screen, it says to avoid legal snags, make sure that you've checked on all the, you know, legality around recording people.
You're recording this? How dare you?
Well, Maine is a single party consent state, so.
That's true.
You have no choice.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, you got me good.
And even if you were in a different state, the state that the recording is being made in is Maine. So.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you watch some stuff and things?
Shows and stuff and things. Yeah, I did. I watched some shows and stuff and things. We had, for me, three finales this week.
Let's see.
Zoe's, The Rookie, The Conners.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And also finale.
This week here, we'll have the finale probably of Debris and This Is Us.
I believe so, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I picked up a couple of new shows this week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And
cool.
You picked up and dropped a new show this week.
Yep. Well, I dropped two new shows this week.
Thanks. Yeah.
So anyhow, The Rookie.
Yep. That's a show that went away for another season.
Yeah. I know. This season was really hit or miss with me with episodes, and I feel like almost maybe they were more miss than hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Never anything to the point where it was like, God, this show sucks. But enough episodes that were like, really?
Yeah. Like, okay. So we ended last episode with Chen going undercover.
No, we ended last episode with Chen training to go undercover.
Right.
My first note is Chen's first undercover work is one episode.
Yeah, Chen goes undercover and she's under, like, we for an undisclosed amount of time, she's hanging out at the hotel being watched. Then she basically gets abducted and these guys force her to make meth and she cooks the meth. And then LaFiera shows up and starts killing everybody. And Chen then manages to, arrest people. But then the back cavalry shows up and everybody gets saved and LaFiera gets arrested and Lopez gets to get in her face about it. I mean, it was all, just a neat little bow. You know what I mean? Like
a neat little bow, because it was predictable that it wouldn't be a neat little bow. Like,
yes,
Chen's stuff was absolutely a neat little bow, but you knew that LaFiera would not stay captured.
Yeah. And the other part of this is Angela and Wesley's venue for the wedding is something goes wrong. So they need a new venue. And then Wesley's mother swoops in and saves the day by finding the perfect venue and her style. However, when I say her style, the whole decoration and venue and everything is Angela's style, what Angela wanted. But Wesley's mother uses her money and influence and bravado.
Chen's roommate and the autistic kid from you know, the neighborhood watch program.
To help her out. It was... And then LaFiera gets broken out of prison, of course.
No, not even prison. Out of the prison transport. The most wanted woman in the United States, head of every drug cartel in this area, because she's taken over and she's been brutally murdering people. And her police escort is Smitty and one other guy in a van.
And here's where it's actually the most unrealistic part about this for this show and every movie we've ever seen. Smitty lived. Didn't even get shot. They showed up with guns, the cops put their hands in the air. They took LaFleur out of the vehicle and they drove away.
Yeah.
I'm like, when I saw Smitty in the video, oh, poor Smitty, he's done for. And I was like, what? Like, oh, that's crap. The most unrealistic thing I've ever seen on The Rookie is the bad guys breaking the head boss out of prison and not shooting the cops that are transporting her.
Yeah. Like, what are they worried about at this point? That they might get arrested for killing a cop?
Right, exactly.
They didn't even tie him up. They just, like, took her and left him in the vehicle.
And then Angela basically gets abducted at her wedding before the ceremony can start.
Let's remember, this is a wedding for a police detective with other police officers there. And some guy in a ski mask with an assault rifle managed to get on the property and get into her room without anybody noticing.
Mm-hmm.
And then abduct her and take her away without anybody noticing.
Yep. You've successfully repeated what happened.
Horse shit.
Yep. So,
Let's also not forget the other two things, that we got a new overzealous DA played by an actor that we've seen in a bunch of stuff, including Battlestar Galactica. He came and went really quickly. I'm sure he'll be back next season. We'll see a previously on The Rookie, and we'll see, you know, his line there to Nolan, don't ever come asking me for a favor. And now Nolan will have to go ask him for a favor.
He was souping up charges on people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like Nolan slipped like
wobblers.
Yeah, like Nolan slipped and fell and like jammed his hand on a rail when he was chasing a suspect, and they arrested the suspect, and then the guy charged him with felony assault on an officer because the officer never would have slipped and hurt his hand if he hadn't been chasing him, he's not wrong, but that's just horseshit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, he'll plead it down, but then he'll have a felony on his record forever. Yeah, who cares? You know, honest people care.
And then we had the ethics professor get involved in that because she has to be involved in everything now.
Yep.
And then Nolan suddenly has a new girlfriend.
Yes. A neighbor who's a firefighter.
Yeah. Jenna Dewan. Oh, she's not only a firefighter, but she's also in the Army National Guard. So she understands all the lingo and all the pressure on cops and, you know, He sure gave her this woman shows up at his doorstep half clothed and he's like, oh, you're living next door watching their dog. Here's the spare key to the house. I won't even walk you over there to ensure that you do belong there. I'll just let you go. But, you know, not before asking her out on a date first.
Yeah.
He's like, I get off work at 8. Maybe I could come over to the house and talk to you about the dog. It's a date. Ugh. It was very frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
So on a less frustrating note.
Well, are you going to talk about Zoe?
Yeah, why not Zoe?
It wasn't as good as season one finale.
Well, of course it wasn't. I mean, think about the stakes that were in the season one finale.
I know, but still, it's just.
The finale was phenomenal because it had to be.
The season one finale was so good that if it was the series finale, it was okay.
Yeah, I would have been perfectly fine with that.
And the season two finale was just not okay. So if this was the series finale, it'd be like, I don't care about the show as much.
So this one, they did exactly what we didn't want them to do. And her and Simon broke up because you know, she realized she still has feelings for Max. And of course we got last week's episode with the flashback to the first day at Spark Point so that we could have the context when she was told, oh no, when Danny Michael Davis is like, no, you didn't get the job. Max got the job and insisted I take you instead. She's like, oh my God, he sacrificed for me. And then, you know, we also got the context of him packing.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I don't mean to interrupt, but
no,
I am.
Right ahead.
Danny Michael Davis said, actually, you didn't get the job. Yes, I did. No, actually you didn't. He got the job. And then he said, no, you deserved it. And then Zoe goes, no, I earned that job. And he goes like, oh, you're making this awkward for me. I mean, I'm the one that made the decision, but okay. No, you didn't get the job. Like, I thought that was awesome because it's true. He's like, all right, you're making this awkward, but I know what really happened because I made the decision.
Yep. So And yeah. then at the same time, like I said, Max is packing for New York and he finds that, Rose finds the little robot that brought the coffee over to Danny Michael Davis from that episode. And she's like, what is this? And he's like, oh, it's just an old experiment. And, it was nothing. She's like, well, it's obviously important enough that you put it in the suitcase to go to New York. And he's like, well, it's all done. And yeah, Zoe and Simon break up very quickly, easily, bluntly, no fuss, no muss. Like there was, this was the most unrealistic breakup in the world. And yeah, I guess for the past couple episodes, they've been growing apart a bit, but come on. Like, he was just like, I think we should break up. And she's like, oh, I thought this was going to be harder. And he's like, no, we're just in two different places. She's like, yeah, cool.
Yep, not realistic.
Nope. And, I didn't like that aspect of it. A lot of this really did revolve around Zoe this time, you know, instead of having, like, all the little offshoot program. I mean, yes, we got, God, I want to say Leaf, but it's not. It's the other guy.
I know you're talking about. They confessed their love for each other and even went to HR and made it official.
Yes. And that's what it actually prompted Zoe and Simon's talk. Because she's like, do we need to go to HR and make it official? He's like, let's talk about that. Let's break up. Yeah. So Zoe discovers that, you know, she's still got feelings for Max and it's always been him. And they kind of have a little moment. I feel like there was other stuff in the middle there, but it just, Mo and her boyfriend there, or his boyfriend.
They reconcile.
They reconcile because he's basically like, I don't care if people see me as gay. I don't care if people see me as whatever. I am at a point where I want to be with you. So, and then Zoe was like, oh, you two sang to each other, so you must be true love. And what was Mom doing? Was she subletting the house to? She did something.
No. Mom announced that she's thinking about possibly considering dating again.
Oh yeah. Because she had that boyfriend. Her first boyfriend from high school was on Facebook, and they had a conversation. She kind of put herself out there, and he's like, "Dude, I'm married."
Well, no. She's, "Hey, what are you doing tonight?" "Oh, just watching TV with my wife." I never even considered that he was married. Like,
yeah. The long and the short of it is that, you know, Zoe confessed to Max, you know, I don't want you to go because I love you. And he's like, look, I don't want to go, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's exactly what we said was the worst case scenario and exactly what we didn't want to have happen.
But yeah.
You had a big problem with this. So tell us why you had a big problem with this.
Big problem with what?
With that particular part of the ending.
Well, I guess
you sent me a message on it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think now what I said. Well, I don't know.
Zoe doesn't know any songs.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm glad you reminded me, because I'm like, what was I upset about? No, Zoe doesn't know music, so she wouldn't know the words to the song that she was singing to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because what was the name of the song? That's what I'm trying to think of. I can't remember now.
Yeah, I can't remember it either.
But it wasn't like, it was an old song.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know the words to songs, so she wouldn't know what that song was to sing to him. That's how I feel about that. You know what I mean?
I understand that. And I get what you're saying. I thought of that as well. However, hold on, I'm skipping forward because I want to see what the song is.
Oh, it just says Zoe doesn't know songs. Yeah.
It was I Melt With You.
Yeah. Yeah. I Stop the World and Melt With You. Yeah, she started singing that to Max. So Max can now has the superpower she has, which I'm fine with that because that might make it more interesting if they both can see it.
Absolutely.
However, my issue is, if she only sang the part from the Burger King commercial, maybe she would know that. But I think that's too old and vague of a song for her to know the words to it, because she doesn't know songs.
So I thought of that as well. However, here is my counterpoint to that. Do you remember the first episode of season 1?
No.
in the first episode of season one, her dad sang to her. Her dad got up and danced and sang with her.
Okay, yep.
And he was crippled and shut in. So he couldn't sing, he couldn't move, but he was able to do that because that was what the heart songs did. So in that respect, I think that they get a loophole.
I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one.
That's the best.
I go, he knows the songs.
But, yeah, but he doesn't know how to make his legs work when they don't work.
This is true. Yeah, possibly. All right, possibly. But still, anyways, it's done.
Well, the other thing is that this show has not been renewed yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that may have been the finale.
Whew. Not as good as season one. Season one finale was so freaking good.
Did you know that you can't find season one on Hulu right now?
Really? No, I did not know that. Maybe it's on Peacock. I don't know if
it's on Peacock. I'm hoping it's on
Peacock. Well, I have Peacock. Let's see. Ever since WWE Network moved to Peacock, I fucking hate it so much. Like,
why?
It doesn't have all the stuff on it that WWE Network had. They're still slowly adding stuff. B, Peacock takes forever to load. I don't care if it's on my phone, my tablet, my Roku TV. It takes forever for Peacock to load. It's absurd. Previously on pay-per-views, if the pay-per-view started, the WWE pay-per-view started at 7 o'clock, and say I didn't want to watch it at 7 because we were watching TV or something, I wanted to wait for everyone to go to bed, I could go on at like 8:30 and click on the pay-per-view and click watch from the beginning, and I could watch it from the beginning. You can't do it now on Peacock. You have to either watch it when it starts, or you have to watch it right from where it's at. You can't start it over.
Huh.
So that's stupid. Previously, if I was having one of those paralysis of choice nights, good night, Wesley, and I didn't know what to watch, I could go on WWE Network and go to the search feature and put in like Tully Blanchard. And I, boom, get a list of Tully Blanchard matches they have on the WWE Network, and I could go through and just watch a match or two. Can't do that now. Can't search individual wrestlers anymore. So it's not as good as it was. It's been 2 minutes now, and it still hasn't loaded up. I just still have the Peacock logo on my screen.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, it has been absolutely terrible. And I have written...
What are you trying to load it up on?
My phone. Wow. Just to see if Zoe's on there. And I have written several very strongly worded letters to the WWE Network and Peacock, telling them how much they suck. But in professional words, not just saying, you guys suck.
Oh, yeah. It is on Peacock. Season 1.
It is. Yep. I got it.
Full episodes.
Finally loaded. Fucking thing. So angry.
And I got an email that, you know, a new device is signed into my account. Yeah, because I had told Julia that she really needed to watch it. I was like, you're going to love this. And she went on Hulu, and she's like, yeah, it's not there. I'm like, what? She's like, only season two is there. I'm like, son of a... Oh, I'm going to do... I wonder, can you download stuff on Peacock?
You can. Certain shows you can, yes.
Okay. I might try to do that.
Anyhow, so the Connors, they had their season finale. It was very good. I enjoyed it.
Are you looking forward to the next season? Since
actually, I am. Yes, they had 20 episodes this season. You know, ended with Dan and Katie Sagal kind of doing the horizontal mambo in this. You know.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Roseanne's dead and all. She died from a drug overdose.
Right.
So
she was troubled.
She was troubled. But I enjoy the show. It's funny. It's good. I like seeing the characters again. So
thanks.
I got to tell you, we watched episode 5 of Mayor from Easttown. There's only 2 episodes left. We watch episode 6 and there's 2 left. Doesn't matter. It says there's 2 episodes left.
Okay.
HBO Max, we really like it.
I remembered you told me about that, so I was walking today and I threw it on.
Yep.
I got halfway through the first episode and said, no.
No?
Just wasn't for me.
Hey, you know what? I completely understand. I watched the first episode of Cruel Summer and said, well, I'm deleting that from my list. I have no interest in watching any more of these episodes.
Yeah.
I just don't care about the teen drama. Isn't that
interesting how? Yeah. And for me, this was too much like a Fargo, or just like it was just too bland and realistic.
Oh, see, that's what we like about it.
I figured as much.
Yep. Yeah, no, I watched that first episode of Cruel Summer and I'm just like, and in my mind, I learned this is fucking garbage. I just don't care about this.
Was it because they were teenagers?
Yeah, it's just the teen drama. I did not give a shit about all the teen drama in it.
Oh, you're getting old, I just didn't.
Did you say I'm getting old?
I did.
You're older than me.
Yeah, but I'm younger at heart.
Maybe I'm maturing finally, and you still haven't.
Maybe.
But no, I just don't care about it. But, you know, quite frankly, I don't care. I did not like MODAK at all either.
Yeah, you had said that in your message. I like MODOK. I thought that it was ridiculous.
I just thought it was ridiculous, but not in a good way.
Yeah, I liked it. Because so many of the other Marvel properties are so serious. I mean, they have their comedy to them. They're not DC shit. But they're so like thematic and they got superhero poses. It's nice every now and then to have something that's just absolutely ridiculous, because when you think about it, you know, MODOK was a character in the comics and, you know, that is what he looked like. So they're like, why not just go over the top, ridiculous, stupid? So I'm going to stick with it. It's definitely not winning any awards. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, I struggled to get through that first episode. I'm like, this is only a half an hour. God.
Yep. Yeah.
No, just wasn't a fan.
I did watch the second episode of Cruel Summer, and I'm still enjoying it, because the second episode, like the first one was all about Jeanette. The second one was all about, what's her name there? The one that got kidnapped.
Katie.
Yep. And so it's three, you know, it's one day, like a couple days after the kidnapping and a couple days after the birthday, over the 3-year period.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I mean, I appreciated the format. I appreciated the format of them introducing like that first year, then the second year, and then the third year of her getting woken up on her birthday each day, and then kind of how her day went.
Yep.
I appreciated the format and how they jumped around and everything, but just
the subject didn't really.
Yeah, the subject matter had no interest in whatsoever to me. None.
I always
zero interest.
I always like that about our discussions. There's so much that we do agree on completely.
Yep.
But then when we disagree, it's usually night and day.
Yep.
You know, the stuff that we disagree on, it's like, I like it, you hate it. It's never like, you know, oh, I like it, I'm kind of tepid on it. No, it's like black and white.
Yep. Well, it's like my buddy Brandon recently. He's been really excited about this new British sci-fi series called Intergalactic.
Planetary?
Nope. No, nice. But no. So just it's called Intergalactic. I had never really heard of it, but he'd been talking about it. And he was just very, very excited about this, about the show. Let's see here. It says storyline. It follows a crew of fierce female convicts who break free and go on the run. And it takes place in the future in space. And then he finally watched the first show and wow, was it pretty bad and not in a fun way. So he shut it off, you know, like, and then we were talking like, geez, how he's, you know, lately it seems like he's been excited for new shows and then he watches them and he just gets disappointed. And I commented, yeah, I felt that way about them, the Nevers, MODOK, the Irregulars, and then Cruel Summer now. Like, yeah. There's been several shows recently where I was excited to watch them, because Cruel Summer I'd seen on my feed for a while, and reading the plot, it sounded good. Mordak, I thought the trailer looked great, and then I watched it. Same with the Irregulars and them and the Nevers. And
yeah, they could put out a hell of a trailer, but
I don't know. But yeah, I like the format. I like the concept of the Cruel Summer. I just didn't care for the storylines, I guess.
Yeah, that's fine. I had watched another first episode. I was out on date night with Julia, and she's like, "You got to check out this show that I like." And I was like, "Okay," because it's very rare that we find something that she's watched that I haven't.
Oh.
And it's a Hulu original. It's called Everything's Gonna Be Okay. And
I just recently saw like season two of that or something like that.
Yeah,
coming out.
They just came out with season two. I thought it was a riot. The first episode, it's interesting. Basically, one of the main characters he's probably, I would say, in his early 20s. And he's got this weird family dynamic. He's a very flamboyantly gay guy who doesn't really have much of a filter. And he talks about how, like, you know, his dad was with this woman and with this woman. So he ends up having two younger sisters, one of whom is autistic and the other one is just kind of socially awkward. And he's at his dad's house visiting with him. And basically his dad tells him, "I'm dying. I have very aggressive cancer and I don't have long to live." And he wants him to help him figure out who will be the guardian for the girls, because moms are either dead or gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother's like, "Okay, I'll be the guardian." And he's like, "No, you cannot be the guardian. You are irresponsible." And he's like, "No, I'll be the guardian." And it's like a dramedy, you know, it doesn't have a laugh track or anything like that. The writing is great. It's very quippy, very like snappy kind of comebacks and stuff like that. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to keep watching it.
Okay.
Oh, and I did ask her, because this might come up with somebody else, but I was like, if the dad's dying and he's like, I was like, how many episodes of the season before he actually dies off, you know, how much of a, and like the very next scene they were at the funeral. I'm like, okay, so first episode.
Got that. Fantastic.
So they didn't waste any time there.
I watched the first episode of a new show on Amazon Prime. Solos.
As did I.
Okay. So Solos is a anthology series, if you will. There's seven episodes. The premise says the series ponders what it means to be human, arguing that we are connected to others through shared experiences, even in our most isolated moments. This first episode was about called Leah. It was directed by Zach Braff, actually.
Yeah.
Of Scrubs fame. And it says here, it's a brilliant physicist obsessed with traveling through time, discovers two unlikely characters standing in the way of her epic breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
I did as well. I thought it was great science. It was very poignant.
Yeah.
It had some good, you know, conundrums to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really don't want to give too much away, and it's hard to talk about it with too much without giving some of it away, but it was only half an hour long.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was very well written, very well acted. I really liked the story. Mm-hmm. It was a very emotional.
Yes.
Well worth your time.
Absolutely.
Well worth your time.
Couple of things to note. One, the way I understand it is that the series is called Solos because each one of the actors playing a role is doing it by themselves. I could be wrong in that, but I believe that it's like, you know, she was the primary character and it all took place basically in one room. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But that's the way I understand it, is like, you know, each person is just kind of, it's exploring loneliness and such. But I also saw one review that said that her episode was great and the rest of them kind of sucked. So I'm kind of bummed about that. But even so, that was a great episode. So I'm happy with that. Also, do you think that one of the episodes is going to deal with Mom? Or do you think that was just a one-off? Because I know that they're supposed to be connected. So,
no, I think it'll be a one-off.
Okay.
I think it'll be a one-off. Yeah, I don't think they'll dig deeper into that one.
I just thought it was going to be one of those, like...
I think Mom's...
6 degrees of separation.
I think Mom's story, if you will, was just a catalyst of pushing the story forward.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of these.
Yeah, me too. It looked... I mean, it was really freaking good. Yeah.
I did watch the second episode of Hacks, and it's not a bad show, but it's definitely not like... It's taking its sweet-ass time. It's the exact same premise as the first episode. You know, they hate each other and they don't want to work together. And Gene Smart,
that's too bad,
doesn't like, you know, getting her time slots taken. So she finds ways to fuck with people. And I don't know. It's okay. I really can't give it a hard sell.
That's too bad. Yeah, that's too bad.
What'd you think about this episode of Jupiter's Legacy?
I really, really, really liked it.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought this was excellent. Like, I watched that episode last week after we got done recording. Because I did the dishes after we got done, then I was awake, and so I put it on to kind of wind down. It was only like 30 minutes. It was a short episode, I swear. 35 minutes or whatever it was. It was so friggin' good.
Yes. I love this new character. I love that he has the same kind of code, like no killing, but then kind of abandons it in the same way.
Yep. He's not really... powerful himself. He has a device that makes him magic, but it only listens to him, no matter who's holding it, type of thing. And
which he doesn't reveal until the very end when that guy picks it up and he's like, shark infested waters.
What did you do? I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. And then home. And it just pops back into his hand.
Yeah.
Takes the blood and guts off it, and he goes, the big man's heart.
Oh, that was just perfect
right there. Like,
yep. Home, shoot. Ah, there we go. Now that, like, you're in charge, what would you think? Yeah.
Yeah, you do you, man. We didn't have a lot to do with the Utopian and his family. They popped in and we got to see more of the flashbacks. So is that guy, I don't know, would he be the father or the grandfather of this kid?
I don't know, maybe.
Because at the end, you know, the kid's like doing his own thing and he's like, I'm coming for you, Pops. And he's got that picture of him up there. Like, is that just a, you know, a throwaway? Like, were we being deceived? Or is this legitimately like someone related to him? Because that guy seemed like he had all of his shit together. Like, newly introduced, and he's basically... I'm only going to call him the Utopian, but, you know, he's basically like trying to figure out what all the scribblings were from the Utopian. Looks like he's probably the one who pieced together where these powers came from before anybody else.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did, personally.
I'm betting, now that I'm thinking about it out loud, I'm betting that his power had to do with like time and space. And maybe that's why he's coming for him. Maybe this guy got lost in time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
Because the stick or the rod or whatever it is only listens to this kid, and it seems to be a space thing, you know, because he can teleport wherever he wants or teleport it wherever he wants. So, maybe this guy had a time-space problem or power and got lost somehow.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting now. Not now, but I mean, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It just took me thinking out loud, and then I was like, wait a minute.
Let's see. We see Utopian's daughter at the end.
That was kind of an interesting thing, huh?
Yeah, because the kid we meet has got the staff, if you will, their stick, which I don't know how much I want to give away because I really want people to watch this, actually. They pull off a heist, if you will, and as they're trying to get away, they accidentally crash their van into her.
Yeah.
And after it happens, at first, he comes over. They come over just to be like, hey, are you okay? Is everybody okay? Like, that's what she's trying to determine. But then one of the guys sees her. He's like, oh, my God, it's Utopian's daughter. And, you know, they just unload. Like, they start shooting at her and using their shooting at her, but using their powers on her.
Yeah, which they're like, that's their first instinct is, oh, my God, yes. We've got to stop her. You know,
yeah, well no, it's
like that she's going to, you know,
stop them.
And stop them.
Yeah. And instead, she's kind of drunk and she just wanted to make sure everybody was OK. And then she was going to go home. And I love it when the one girl uses like her big super jumping in the air, coming down, punches her in the face. And her head just turns.
Yeah.
And then she just looks back and just basically flicks her like she's a bug. And she just fucking rockets away
up into the atmosphere, just like straight up till she's gone.
Yeah, so I don't know if she's dead or not. But no, I really, really enjoyed it. And I honestly, like, I wanted to watch more episodes all week long.
Yeah, I felt the same way about Solos at the end of it. Both of those, I was like, oh, I just want to binge this.
Well, see, Solos for me, I was cool with. I didn't have that same feeling because were there standalone episodes? It's like, okay, I can wait. Because the next episode's a brand new story. Whereas with this, it's like the next episode is the continuation of this episode that we just saw.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I was pretty excited about it.
Yep. I really enjoyed it. And I'm very much enjoying the fact that, you know, a lot of the critics were like, oh, it's boring. Oh, it's not that great. And I'm sitting here like, fuck you guys. I like
it. It's good shit. Was it This Is Us? We got to talk about This Is Us.
Yeah. One episode left.
I'll summarize This Is Us for everybody.
Jerry 2.0.
Yeah. Kevin and the boys go to the cabin for his bachelor party, and things don't go the way they think they're going to because they're going to go fishing and it rains. And then Madison and the girl and Kevin's mom and Beth and Kate, they have her bachelorette party where a model shows up that they're going to paint. It turns out to be Madison's ex. And then
I expected that to go a lot worse. Like, I expected there to be, like, lost feelings or whatever. Nope, they ripped on him while he was standing right there.
My favorite part was when Rebecca gives him grief for ghosting her, and he's like, yeah, I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was just so one and done.
What was it? Kevin's ex.
Sophie.
I can think of it as Zoe, but Sophie this time, basically calls him to say, hey, congrats on getting married. And so Kevin's kind of thinking about her and then thinking about when he was married to her when they were younger and how he basically just took for granted their relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that everything would be fine when they all went to the cabin before. And this is also we get to see the flashback where Miguel calls Rebecca and Rebecca's like, I think I want to date someone. And Miguel's like, someone would be very lucky to date you. Mm-hmm. But it seems they basically imply that Madison and Kevin are having second thoughts about getting married.
Yes, because Madison isn't until that final scene.
Yeah.
You know, when she's watching his answer to the question, which, I mean, come on, read the body language.
Yeah.
You know, the question, what was the question? It was, what would you say that she sees as your plan 5 years from now? Or no, when you're empty nesters.
Yes.
And he thinks about it and then he like pauses and kind of gets that glassy look in his eyes like, oh, crap.
And I got it that he smiled a little bit. See, I missed that.
Oh, yeah. I saw that he was just like, like it was kind of hitting him. And then she, she notices that hesitation and that pause and that like, stammer. And then he's like, Trick question. She knows I never want to get old.
Well, and then, of course, what we know, which Madison doesn't know, is that Kate's thinking back to when Kevin professed his love to Sophie when they were at the cabin, when they were fighting, when they were young, like 20 and married, when he was basically stated how they wanted to have kids and grow old together, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think in the end, they'll end up getting married.
Do you think it'll last, though?
Like, yeah, I think it will.
We keep seeing him with the kids in the future, but we don't see her.
Yeah, but he said your mother when he talks about it.
Yeah.
Your mother, and you know, your mother's not feeling good. She's in the bedroom. So who else would it be unless Madison dies and it's a stepmom? But I doubt that. No, I
maybe
see
they're pulling out How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But well, this is before they revealed Madison was the mom who was pregnant with the twins.
Right.
So
yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll make it. I think it'll be good.
Yeah. It's called Jerry 2.0 because basically they get done watching Jerry Maguire, which, you know, we see flashback that, you know, Kevin saw it on the first day that it was in theaters with his dad, and loved it, and thought it was great. And, you know, at the cabin that time, wrote his own mission statement about Sophie and everything. And now Nikki's like, ah, you're Jerry 2.0. And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah, you're only marrying her because, you know, you got her pregnant. He fell in love with the kids and, you know, and then as a result kind of got together with the girl, but he never would have gotten with her otherwise. He's like, that's just like you. And Kevin's like, Kevin picks a fight with him. And I like how Randall's like, why don't you just go get some air? Like, he's picking a fight with an old man.
Yep. Yeah, and but they work it out. Nikki and him and everybody work it out. So.
Yep. Yeah. One more episode.
Yep. Same thing with Debris. We had episode 12, a message from ground control, where we kind of see the girl we saw from the last episode.
This time, it mostly takes place in the warehouse that's holding all this debris. And the debris is kind of they can't tell if it's the debris or all I can think of is Halcyon, but that's not it. What's the name of the bad group? Ingress?
Yeah, something like that. I can't think of it right now.
So Influx or whatever.
And yes, I can't remember now.
It's like Influx or Ingress or something.
Influx. It's Influx.
Okay. So they don't know if it's Influx doing this or if it's the debris itself doing it, but basically it's taking over the minds of the people who are working in this place, and then having them move certain pieces of debris in a certain order onto the ground so that then they can be sucked one at a time into the two-dimensional space that they've seen in, you know, in that field that time, while spitting out on the other side of it the empty, charred, mangled containers that the debris was in.
Yep.
There's also a piece of the debris in the lab underneath them that was trying to get up through the floor to that, and it got stuck. It's a lot of like, oh, this is what's been happening. This is, you know, they've been storing all this debris and they're putting stuff back together. And, you know, it was a build up to a finale, if anything.
Yeah, and while they're down there, Brian sees that girl again from the last episode. And this time they do touch hands because Finola's not there to break it up. And he sees the debris shows him something. The debris shows him that we need to let this happen. We need to let the debris do what they're doing. And then everybody will be fine after. And so the debris finishes putting itself together and they help it put itself together as well. And then it becomes a glowing orb, which everyone is mystified by. Mm-hmm. And then it shoots off into the sky.
Yep.
Now, here's something else that happened in this episode that I had a real issue with.
Okay.
Finola called her dad several times to speak to him about what was going on to get advice. And talk to him on speakerphone where anyone walking by could hear. Calling him dad, like, not hiding the fact, you know, he's supposed to be in hiding, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a problem with that.
Yes.
Because it happened multiple times. I'm like, there's fucking Maddox is right there. Like, he was just talking to you. And now you're like, hey, Dad, as loud as you can on your fucking speakerphone, Dan.
Right. Now, I wish I had written it down, but I did make myself a note. First off, I didn't realize this. I was trying to look it up right now, but I discovered, did you realize that the creator of this show, J.H. Wyman, also did the show Almost Human, which was canceled very quickly, but he also did Fringe.
Oh, no, I didn't know he did Fringe.
Yeah, and yeah, Almost the name Human. Of this article is Debris Showrunner J.H. Wyman on What Fringe Taught Him About Making Sci-Fi TV. And his first quote is, I can tell you that I know what the last shot of the series is. So he's already got it planned out.
Yeah.
But I actually should have brought this up in the last episode, which was the flashbacks to Afghanistan episode.
Yep.
Did you notice they always have that radio chatter at the end of the episode on the credits?
Yes, I actually sit and listen to it.
Yeah, the one from last episode and then from this episode, they were both present day. They were talking about Brian and Fanola.
Huh.
Because everything else, it sounded like, you know, it was the day that the debris first was coming through the atmosphere.
Yes.
These ones were actually talking about Brian and talking about Fanola. Like, they were recent.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting, actually.
Yeah. Oh. What else have we got?
That's it for TV Legends. Shows, I think.
Legends.
Oh, John, Legends, yes.
Good God, man.
Sorry. I think okay, so it wasn't my favorite episode.
No, it not because it was like it was as ridiculous as it needed to be. But yes, it was not the greatest one that they have done yet.
Yeah. In 2045 Hollywood, one of the aliens, Lord Noxacrillion, shows up and they get they show him killing DJ S'more Money, which is Zari's ex-boyfriend. He's judging a competition called The Throne.
Yep.
So they go to stop him. And essentially, Lord Noxacrillion is there to kill the king, which is DJ S'more Money. He gets confused that it's him. So then basically the legends manage to get him on the ship and they try and imprison him, but they can't because they're Lord Noxacrillion is basically an android. And he's like, no, we will have an honorable battle, and then when I destroy you, then I'm going to take over your planet. And if you try to cheat me, I'm going to have my armada come and we'll destroy your planet. So they basically convince him that, you know, hey, singing and dancing competition is the way to win. So, of course, he's going to be in the singing and dancing competition. He accepts that this is what it is. And Zari, who is the dragon girl, a dragon's breath or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
She's super popular and an influencer and has her own makeup line, but she hasn't been seen in a while. So, you know, she's losing some of her popularity. So she's going to be the wild card celebrity guest on this season. So she has to battle this other duo of rocker girls and then battle Lord Noxacrillion. And quite frankly, I expected better from her performances. Based on what we've seen on this show in the past with their use of music and dance numbers and singing and everything else, I expected more. And quite frankly, it was subpar.
Yeah. Yeah. It was not what I was expecting. Like,
it wasn't even zany. It was just bad and bland.
Yep. Yeah. I can get behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Zari and John basically make it known that they're boyfriend, girlfriend. Mick is having bad issues because, Sarah's gone and he's depressed and sad and he's being a dick. And then finally he comes around at the end. And he's like, we need to go search for Kayla, the one that kidnapped Sarah, to find out where she is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, remember, after this season, Mick is gone. Like, the actor is not going to be playing it anymore. So I feel like they're setting him up to leave by showing this frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him being all frustrated and like, oh, we got to do this. Blah, blah. I think either they're going to get sick of him and kick him off, or he's going to be like, I'm done with this. I'm just going to go right and be with my daughter.
I think that's what's going to happen. He's not going to, he's going to be like, you know what? I just need to go right and be with my daughter. And but he's going to leave happily. Everyone's going to be sad to see him go, but happy for him. It'll be a good send off.
Hopefully.
Noxicrillion is apparently nothing more than a small alien that's piloting the suit, if you will.
Yeah.
And he steps out to tell everybody about him and his race and this and that, and Mick stomps on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah and Gary, being pursued by some unknown people. And she tells Gary, just eat one of them. Like Kayla ate, you know, Spartacus. So he does, but it's an Ava clone.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah follows the Ava clones, one of them back to this base where there's a guy there who's been apparently waiting for Sarah Lance for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of the episode. Again, I really like the show. I was actually disappointed with the lack of zaniness.
Yeah. I think it is important to note that, in the beginning of this, they were talking about how in the future, The Rock is president.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
So that was a nice little nod.
In 2045.
Yeah, I wanted it to be a bit more as well. I feel like this new Zari is great as like a background character or as in like, you know, somebody who just sits, who sits back and, you know, chimes in while others are having adventures, but to put her front and center like this, it just really wasn't.
Yeah, no, it didn't work for me.
Not this version of Zari.
Yeah.
So while you were talking, I found somebody has a blog here where they've written down all the radio chatter at the end of the episodes.
Okay.
So it's very interesting because as you watch them, so the first one, this is episode one, it says we're traveling 27,300 feet per second. Distance from Earth, 9,078 nautical miles. Object descending rapidly. Estimates show 29 minutes away from touchdown in the northern hemisphere. So, of course, you're like, yeah, that's when the debris was first falling. Sure, makes sense. Episode 2. Possible second anomaly detected approaching exosphere. Entering the thermosphere over the North Atlantic. Unable to confirm with visual observation. Extrapolating trajectory to determine approximate debris field. Okay. Could still be the same, you know, when it was happening. Yeah. Episode 3, breakage initially sighted 46 months ago. First atmospheric collision, 1806 over Iceland, traveling in excess of 150,000 kilometers per hour. Earth intersecting trajectory. Episode 4, we've got Roger, we're about to do the handover. Can you repeat the last value you had? Unable to confirm with visual observation. This is orbital 6370, moving now for extraction. Delta plus 0093. And that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 5, we actually have a woman this time. Debris is not burning up on entry. Repeat, debris is not burning up on entry. Multiple impacts in North America, Atlantic Ocean, continental shelf. And then a man, orbital responding. Which we know orbital is, you know, the group that had her father killed. That's the one that Brian works for. Episode 6 is orbital investigating. Debris field 16, 17, beep. 21, beep, 56, beep, 170. And that's it. Episode 7, we get Roger that, approaching debris field 56 now, over. I see it. It appears to have a strange shimmering wall near it. It's undulating. And then it's done. Episode 8, no sign of Garcia. The debris again, over. Approaching the debris. Woman, you broke up. Can you repeat? Man, Garcia, I cannot read you. I cannot see you. Radio static. Oh my god. Oh my god. Episode 9, we got, this is Orbital Situation Team 62. We just arrived at Debris Field 56. We're tending to Agent Garcia. There's no trace of Agent. And then inaudible. Woman, I was just speaking to him. Man, he's gone. He's gone. Episode 10, tell us what you're seeing. Can you tell us what you're seeing? I'm seeing sparkles in the air. Still no sign of Ming. It's beautiful. Have you found Beneventi? Have you found Beneventi? Over. And then episode 11, we have we have found Beneventi. Over, repeat, we have found Agent Beneventi. Woman, he's in a state of confusion. There's a laceration on his chin and a wound on his upper chest. Man, what the hell happened to these men? So remember how he said a couple times in the episodes that what's his name there, his boss, has saved his life?
Yes.
Is this what they're talking about?
Could be.
I thought that I heard them talking about Fanola in there, but maybe it was just Brian.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it very well could be.
We got one episode left, right?
Yep.
Ugh.
Just the one episode.
All right. So that's it for shows.
Did you watch any movies?
I watched two movies.
Me too.
What'd you watch?
Well, I ended up watching Army of the Dead.
As did I. Oh, actually, there's 13 episodes. So we've got one. No? Oh, no, that's right, because season two. They do that. I hate that. They're like 13 episodes. Yeah, because one in season two. Jerks. Anyway. So, yeah, you sound about as enthused about Army of the Dead as I did.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. I actually liked it.
Okay.
I enjoyed the movie. I wouldn't watch it again. I mean, maybe someday, but it's not anything I would go out of my way to watch again, I guess.
Okay.
It was just okay. It was just okay.
I had a similar thought along those lines. My thought was that for an action movie, it had action. The plot was tired. The characters were the most generic characters I have seen. Like, this was, I've used this phrase before, and I'm sorry if it sounds generic. I usually reserve this for Michael Bay, but this was like it was written by a fifth grader. Like, these characters were so stereotypical. Every one of them was just absolutely generic. And the plot beats were generic, too. You know, I was reminded of you watching House of the Dead and groaning how many times people did the self-sacrifice thing.
Oh, yeah. That was good,
you know?
Good stuff.
It was predictable as fuck in this one. Who was going to die? Who was going to live? Who was going to sacrifice themselves? And who was going to die just for being a dick?
Yep.
I thought that the twist was interesting. The twist on it in the beginning. I knew from the trailer that, you know, it's called Army of the Dead because these zombies were smart enough to have some of their cognizance to them. So they, you know, had like a kingdom and they had ranks and such. But I thought that we'd actually hear talking. I thought that we'd actually hear them have some kind of coherent thoughts.
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying. And then, no, we didn't get that.
No, we still got the, you know, hisses. And but they were smart enough to, like, you know, understand that these people, oh, okay, you're giving us a sacrifice. Yep, we'll take that. Now you can walk around our city. Just stay away from the center part. Like,
yeah.
I found, you're right, it was not a bad movie. There were parts that I enjoyed, but it was horribly generic to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely it was. It was. Like I said, it's nothing I would watch anytime soon again.
Yep.
But it's not, I didn't despise it or hate it. It just was what it was.
Yep. It was very long.
Oh, 2.5 hours. That was way too fucking long.
But apparently, here's the kicker of it. Apparently, it goes beyond what we saw, and it deals with time loops and alternate realities.
Well, they touched on that a little bit.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a few places in there. I was reading an article on it today, and it made me sad that I didn't like it more. But, yep, you know, there's different places in there where, like, the vault hasn't been open in years, and yet it's got weapons in there that match their weapons. Like, why would it have done that?
Well, what about the dead bodies that were out in the gate that matched their dead bodies? Like them.
Yeah.
Even the key necklace that, you know, the one had and everything. Yep. So.
Yeah. So my thought, you know, people are talking time loops. My thought was, it's a fucking video game. Like, even before the time loop theory, I was watching this thinking, wow, somebody wrote a video game as a movie. Or they did the opposite. They wrote a movie that they wanted it to be a video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And possibly. So that would play right into the time loop because, you know, oh, you failed this time. Go back, you know, respawn. Try it again.
Yeah. I mean, that's possible.
I wish I could have liked it more.
What was the other movie you watched?
I watched one that's been popping up for me. It's called Parallel. And the concept is that these friends find a house where there's a gateway to multiple parallel universes. And how can they use this to make their lives better? Like, when they go through the gateway, they end up in a parallel universe, but time passes differently there. So, like, they're there for a half an hour. They come out, and it's been, like, 9 seconds in the real world. It was pretty good. It was definitely not the greatest thing that I've ever seen, but I like this kind of stuff. It was enjoyable. One of the main characters was, I want to say Titus, but it's not, Martin from Mr. Robot.
Okay. You
know, the Swedish guy there.
Yes.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
The one who disappeared and then, you know, everybody thought he was dead.
Tyrell.
Tyrell. Thank you. Tyrell Wellington. He's one of the friends.
Yep.
It was not bad. If you like parallel universe, alternate reality kind of things, and then watching people's minds and body, because the thing is, they start to realize that when they go in, they don't always come back out in the same reality. Sometimes they come back out in one that's slightly different. You know, they're looking for things like whether or not history is different or this has changed or this has changed, and they're kind of changing things, and then things start unraveling for all of them. It's a good suspenseful movie. I give it a sell, but not a hard sell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was your second movie?
Spiral.
How'd that treat you?
Well, so here's the deal. I have seen all the Saw movies and Jigsaw in the theater. Okay?
Yep.
Seen them all in the theater.
Both of them with me.
Yep, most of them with you, absolutely. And So I wanted to go see this in the theaters. There was no drive-in playing it near me, and a couple I messaged said they weren't sure if they're going to get it or not. And on today, Monday the 24th, Maine was reducing their guidance for wearing masks and everything, and basically saying you don't have to wear your masks inside places anymore, and as long as you're vaccinated.
Yep.
As long as you're vaccinated. However, there's no way of proving someone's vaccinated, so it's the honor system. So basically, you don't have to wear your masks anymore inside if you don't want to, is what it comes down to. And there's no limitations on how many people can be in there, and social distancing is apparently not required anymore. Like, we went from our safe guidelines to zero guidelines, except if you're on a public transportation, a plane, a train, a bus, you have to wear your mask.
Hospitals,
you have to wear your mask.
Yep.
Schools and daycares are still required. Yes, state buildings are required, but July 7th, they're not going to be anymore. It could change, but as of right now, July 7th, it's not going to be, or July 6th, it's not going to be restrictions anymore. Businesses could still enforce a mask mandate if they chose to.
Good luck.
You know, businesses are allowed to enforce that if they want. So, like, I went to Hannaford today, and about half the customers were wearing masks, and about half the staff were wearing masks. Mm-hmm. They still had the plexiglass up, you know, at the cash registers,
Good.
But I didn't hear a single customer say to another customer, you know, you don't have to wear your mask if you don't want to. You know what I mean? I didn't hear that ignorance.
Right.
But anyhow, so whatever. It is what it is. So I did not feel I don't feel comfortable going to a movie theater right now. And
yeah.
So but I wanted to see Spiral in the theaters. So we went on Saturday. Kanan and I went on Saturday. Not many people in the theater at all. Everyone was spaced out. People had their masks on when they walked in, at least when they sat down. Who knows? My first time going to the movies in over a year. Last time I went, I believe, was February of 2020 or maybe, and it was definitely February of 2020. We went and saw, I took Kanan to see 1917. It was before my surgery.
That was the last time I went too, because that was when I went to that double feature of Fantasy Island and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Where was that? Oh, you that not sorry, it wasn't a double feature like at the driving. You just went to the right, movies one day, like we used to do. Yes.
Yeah. My Valentine's gift to me.
So Regal did not start out well. When the newbie came on, there was no picture, there was just sound.
Nice.
And then the Regal Entertainment roller coaster, no picture, just sound. But then when the trailers kicked on, finally there was picture. I don't know. I was excited to go to the movies for the first time in the year because I love going to the movies. And then I was very underwhelmed. I don't know if it was the movie. I don't know if it's because I truly didn't feel comfortable being in the theater. Maybe the sound wasn't very loud. I don't know. It just wasn't the experience I was hoping for, I guess. The movie was okay. It wasn't great, you know.
But you're giving it at least an okay.
Yeah. I mean, it says like Rotten Tomatoes has it at 37%. I don't really agree with that. Metacritic looks like they have it a 5 out of 10. Yeah, I'd give it that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd give it that. I mean, it wasn't the worst movie in the Saw franchise. It could be for me that I just don't think Chris Rock is a good actor. He's not a good serious actor like he's supposed to be in this, because he only knows one way to talk, loud and obnoxious, which is how he delivers his comedy. But it doesn't work when you're trying to deliver like a serious thing. But yeah, it was okay. It was just okay.
Okay.
I mean, I'll buy it when it comes out to be my completest collection. So I was reading that there's the possibility of a sequel.
Really?
Yep. And there's also the possibility of a TV show based on Spiral.
Huh.
So, yeah. Okay. So they kind of announced Twisted Pictures that Saw 10 was in development. And then Daryl Lynn Boozman basically came out and said, I don't think it's going to be Saw 10 that's in development. It's probably Saw 9 that's in development. Just because Spiral came out doesn't mean Saw ceased to exist.
Yeah, they did say that it was from the book of Saw. They didn't say the next Saw.
Exactly. So Saw 9 could be the sequel to Jigsaw or the sequel to Saw 7, which would be Saw 8 then technically. Spiral could just have its own. Like, it basically, it'd be saying like if Creed Part 2 was really Rocky Part 7.
Right.
You know what I mean? In this, or if they came out with a new Rocky movie, it's Creed 3. You know, like, or, you know, Rocky 9, because the Creed movies are technically, you know, no, it doesn't work that way. So, but yeah, can't give it a hard sell.
I honestly wasn't expecting it to be good. So,
no, either was I.
Yeah. I'm with you, though. Like, I went to the drive-in recently, and when I look for movies now, I look for the drive-in. You know, I know Julia really wants to see A Quiet Place, too, so I'm watching drive-ins for that. And I know that Bridgerton's going to have it coming up here, and, you know.
It's just so fucking far away.
But then you did the math the other day, and it's just as far away as the others.
It just feels further away. But yes, you're correct.
It does.
Like Skowhegan actually seemed would be more of a equally would be a better location for you guys to go because it's kind of Skowhegan's playing A Quiet Place. I just saw that announced tonight.
When?
Like I just saw it was announced tonight that they're playing it. Hold on.
Oh, cool.
I got the notification because I get notifications from them. Skowhegan Drive-In. Yeah, Silence Is Not Enough, A Quiet Place Part 2. So they put the poster up. Okay. See here. Oh, Friday, March 28th to Sunday, March 30th, A Quiet Place Part 2 followed by World War Z.
Damn.
What?
Well, we're going to be on.
All weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we're celebrating the fact that we have a 3-day weekend, so we rented a hotel down there.
Okay.
So, huh. Well, that's a shitty timing thing.
Well, did you check Socko Drive-In, what they're playing? I think they're playing Cruella.
Cruella. Everybody's playing fucking Cruella.
Yeah, even Pride's Corner's playing Cruella. That's why I said Socko. Yeah, Pride's Corner's playing Cruella for the next 2 weekends.
Right.
Or some shit. Ridiculous. Which I liked the drive-in much better last year when they were playing old movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the next 3 weekends, Pride's Corner's playing Cruella. I'm like, are you fucking serious, people? Like, right. That movie for 3 weekends in a row? Like,
yeah. And I mean, technically speaking, if you think about it, that's how a movie theater does it. Except the movie theater has like 10 screens.
Right, exactly. There's more options. There's more options, yeah. But I mean, obviously, if they're selling tickets, I mean.
Yeah. 3 fucking weekends.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, I just liked it better when they were playing classic movies. Oh, no, they've adjusted it. They're just doing it 2 weekends.
Oh, well.
At Pride's Corner. They're doing May 28th, 29th, and 30th, and June 4th, 5th, and 6th. So.
Well, who knows? Maybe Skowhegan will do Quiet Place 2 weeks in a row.
Or maybe Bangor will get it.
Yep.
You know? Maybe Bangor will end up getting it, so.
Yeah. I ain't worried.
Yep. But yeah, I did just see tonight that, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So.
Yeah.
News and trailers?
News and trailers.
Do you remember that Aziz Ansari series called Master of None?
Yeah. Just got a third season show up.
Yesterday it did. Came out. Yep. It's called Master of None Presents Moments in Love. 5 episodes only. Aziz Ansari is a secondary character. Lena Waithe. Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Yeah. She's the main star in this, if you will. His friend, Dev's friend Denise. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah.
Nice.
I liked Master of None. I thought it was a good show.
I think I started watching it, but I don't know that I ever fully got into it.
Oh, yeah. No, I liked it. It just seems weird. Like the first season was in 2015, second season 2017, and third season 2021, which I know it got delayed because of COVID, but still.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Didn't he have some allegations? Yeah, there we go. He had some allegations of sexual misconduct. Yep.
Yeah, he did. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I think it went away, though.
Yeah,
I don't want to say like it. Yeah. It not like, oh, it just disappeared. But I think that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he's back. I know. We saw him back in 2012. I enjoyed his show.
I did as well.
So, American Horror Story, or should I say American Horror Stories?
Oh,
as premiering this July. I can't remember the exact date now, but it's going to be. I think it's 13 episodes. It's standalone. Each episode is a standalone show, so it's a true anthology TV show. And it's called American Horror Stories. And Ryan Murphy and company did this show. Okay. And then directly after that is over, when it finishes up, season 10 of American Horror Story is going to premiere. And they're both Fox FX on Hulu originals, if you will. And season 10 of American Horror Story is called Double Feature because it's two separate stories making up the season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. So that is set to debut directly after American Horror Stories. I just can't remember how many episodes it is. So
okay. Yep. Cool.
Yep. What you got?
I got, well, if we're doing news, interesting. So the guy, David Ramsey, who played Diggle in the Arrowverse.
Yep.
He is going to be on all the Arrowverse shows, one episode each coming up here. The Legends one, he's playing, it looks like the first black U.S. Marshal.
Okay.
Is what it looks like, or maybe Texas Ranger. I don't know. But on the other ones, he will be playing Diggle, and he's suffering from some voices in his head kind of thing. Essentially, what I read was that he turned down the Green Lantern ring that we saw at the end of Crisis because he spent all these years, you know, fighting to keep his family, and he's finally got them back, and he's finally feeling grounded, and he just wanted to spend time with his family, and so he turned down the offer, and that doesn't come without consequences.
Okay.
So I don't watch any of those shows. I'll be interested to see the write-ups on them afterwards.
Yep, that's how I feel about that.
I saw a thing on Instagram the other day. It was a clip from one of Flash's recent episodes, and it looked so fucking ridiculous. And so I started scrolling through the comments, and yeah, people were like, what the hell happened to this show? God, this show is so stupid. I hate this show. Why did this show turn like this? It's so terrible now. So apparently we got out just in time.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah, there was nothing good to say about this show. Like, all the comments were terrible. This was interesting. You know how they have that live action Powerpuff Girls show coming?
Yes.
They filmed a pilot for it, and now they're filming a new pilot for it. They announced today that they are redeveloping, and that's in quotes, the Powerpuff Girls. They're keeping the same cast and crew, but they're going to reshoot it and change it up. Apparently it must not have tested well. So yeah. But hopefully we'll see it. This one was just a personal note for me. I'm getting really tired of all the Loki trailers. I don't watch any of them, but it seems like every time I turn around, every day there's a new, oh, check out this Loki trailer. Check out this trailer for Loki. Oh, new characters introduced in this trailer for Loki. Oh, looks like this is going to be happening in Loki because of this trailer. Dude, we're going to watch it. We all watched WandaVision. We all watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We're going to watch Loki. Stop showing us everything. God, it's pissing me off.
Yeah, I haven't watched a single trailer either. I'm not going to. And yeah, all this crap is getting old.
Yeah. This was my most exciting news of the week. And this was the end of my news. Then we'll just do trailers. But they're apparently working on a reboot to Highlander. And
oh, I know.
They haven't said whether it's going to be we're going to go back to Connor McLeod, or if we're going to have a different one like they did with the TV series with Duncan McLeod.
Yes.
But they have said that the director of John Wick is doing it, mm-hmm. and that Henry Cavill is in talks to be the main character.
I'm behind it.
Mm-hmm. I'm very behind it. I would love to see the Highlander mythology brought back into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. Let it have a resurgence. Let it have a new popularity boost. Fuck yeah. So other than that, I just got trailers. Sent you a bunch of them.
Yeah, you did.
One coming out on Netflix called Good on Paper. Looks hilarious. Basically, a girl finds this guy and he seems too good to be true and probably is too good to be true.
Yeah, it looks very, it looked good.
Yeah. Only murders in the building. It's Steve Martin and Martin Short in an apartment building trying to solve murders because they're doing, you know, a Hitchcockian thing. I'm fucking sold.
Yeah.
I don't need to see any more. I know that I will watch the fuck out of this.
Yep. Same.
Teaser for the reboot of The Wonder Years. I'll watch the hell out of it.
You know, it's funny. Kate never watched, my wife never watched the original Wonder Years.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. She's never seen it.
Interesting.
Which it doesn't surprise me because, I mean, when it was on TV, she was too young for it.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, we got a full trailer for Resident Evil Infinite Darkness. Again, I'm fucking sold. Like, I didn't even need this trailer, but it was just great. looks like the games. It's beautiful. This one was interesting. Fear Street, the film trilogy event on Netflix.
Okay, so this is the R.L. Stine.
Give me the rundown on this.
So R.L. Stine wrote a, it's not a series like the Fear Street books weren't all connected together. Some of the books connected together, but it was just basically like he was a teen horror author. You know what I mean? He wasn't he was just a teen horror fiction writer, if you will, R.L. Stine. The books he wrote was just called Fear Street. That was his horror line, if you will. I don't know. Let's see here. He I'm trying to remember how many books he did. I mean, I'm trying to find if I can tell me how many books he did, but it felt like it was dozens of books. They did all take place in Shadyside, which was the town, the city with which they resided in. But yeah, they were just a bunch of different people. It wasn't like it was the same cast over and over and over and over and over again. So, you know, the characters changed in each book. Some of them might mention from different stories. They might be older in later books. They might appear.
It was kind of like he's an author of the teenage version of Stephen King stuff. Where they all take place in Maine, but different parts. Sometimes they mention other places or other people.
Yes,
but
some of them interconnect, some of them don't interconnect, et cetera, et cetera. So, but these are going to be three movies that are based on some of his books, and I don't know which books they're based on. I haven't looked into it that far, but I know like the first one takes place in 1994. The second one takes place in 1970.
Six or something.
78, and the third one takes place in 1666.
Right.
And they're interconnected movies. They're rated R, which is surprising to me because they're teen movies or teen books. And they're going to be come out July 2nd, 9th, and 16th. Three consecutive weeks in a row. So I'm going to check them out.
I was going to say, that was my next question.
Yeah, but this could be just as disappointing as the Blumhouse movies on Hulu.
Yeah.
So,
yep. I'm loath to talk about it, but I'll just say that they had a full trailer for the Friends reunion. I sent it to you because your wife is a huge Friends fan, and that's I'm going to say about that. Ghosts.
Yeah, this is a TV series on CBS. This looks very interesting.
Apparently, it's based on a British series.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I saw a little British girl that I follow on Instagram. She's like, no, the Americans are redoing Ghosts. How dare they? And I'm like, ah, that would explain it. And it does, like, just the premise of it looked very British.
Yes, it did. Or does.
But yeah, I will check that out. Long Story Short looks interesting. I don't know. I never liked that phrase anyway. But this is basically about a guy who gets in a relationship with a woman and then he starts time jumping. Like an entire year goes by.
He's in the cemetery talking to this lady who basically is like, what would happen if a year of your life went by?
Yeah.
And that's what happens all of a sudden. Like it's almost like,
Click.
Yeah. Or The Family Man, that movie with Nick Cage, where all of a sudden he wakes up and he's, all of a sudden he wakes up and now he's got a wife and kids and he's not in his own family, except this guy's zipping through his life for like every hour, every day to him. It's been a year.
Yeah. So like his wife's pregnant and then he's got a little girl and then, you know, his wife is with another man. Yeah. It'll be interesting. It might be a good date night movie type of thing.
Yeah, it does look interesting. It's an Australian flick.
And then the last one was one that they just released today, which was a trailer for Marvel's The Eternals.
That was a trailer about a movie that's coming out.
Yeah. I mean, it was quite 2 minutes long.
Vague much, really?
Yeah. I mean, they called it a teaser, so I'll give them credit. But usually when I think teaser, I think 30 seconds to a minute. This was well over 2 minutes.
Yep.
And it's a thing. I will see it. I will absolutely see it. I'm not that the movie is bad. Just they showed us all kinds of stuff without telling us anything.
They didn't tell us anything at all. We didn't really see anything. Basically it said, hey, here's a Marvel movie. Let's go watch it.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's your cast, you know, with, Kit Harington and Salma Hayek and Angelina Jolie and all kinds of other people that you've heard about before.
Yep. Oh, and did we mention that it's by director Chloe Zhao, who just did Nomadland that John and Mike fucking hated, but everybody else, you know, thought was the greatest thing, and the critics slobbered all over it?
I thought it was dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I have a feeling this is going to be one of those. Remember, like, the first trailer that we saw for Superman and Lois, and we were like, wow, what the fuck was that? And everybody was like, this is garbage. And then they came out with the second one. We're like, oh, I will definitely watch that. I feel like we've had a few of those lately.
Sweet Tooth was just one.
Yeah. Like that. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm hoping that with this one, it's the same way. Like, we got this one, and it's like, and then we're going to get one that actually introduces them and introduces the, you know, their enemies and shit. And hopefully.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Anything else for you, sir?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Well, that's it for me as well. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And thanks for listening.
We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
We almost forgot one.
Oh, what?
Ad Badge.
Oh, yeah.
Not that it was anything spectacular. Quite frankly, it was just...
quite frankly, it wasn't.
Yeah.
This show has quickly become a... let's give them a reason to stop over on a different planet and get into hijinks kind of thing.
Yeah, basically.
You know, last time it was, we need to find a place to hide out. This time it was, we need fuel and to scramble our code. And Omega got into some hijinks.
Yep. But we see Fennec Shand in this.
Yes. And this takes place, what did they say, like 15 years before or 25 years before
Mandalorian? I don't know, Ken. I don't know where it falls in the chronological.
I think it's 25 years before Mandalorian, if I remember correctly.
That's a long time.
Yes. Yeah, because Mandalorian takes place right after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Like five years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that would make sense, I guess, then. But, like you just said, they were heading to a planet to hide out on, but they had to stop at another planet because, you know, supplies and fuel and, you know, they don't have money now because they're not working for the Empire. And FedEx Shan shows up to get Omega and they all have to fight her off to get her back.
Yep.
They killed a lot of people in this.
They killed a lot of people.
Yeah, Fennec Shand, just they killed a lot of people in this.
Yep.
So, anywho, all right.
Okay. Now you can go.
Yep. Yeah. Talk to you later.